Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Have you ever made a promise with someone? A promise that the other person didn't keep? What happened when the other person didn't keep their end of the promise? What was your reaction to them? I'm sure you weren't too happy when the promise was broken. If that has never happened to you, I can tell you from experience that it's not a good thing. It's upsetting when people don't keep their end of a promise. Now, in today's Old Testament reading from Jeremiah, we hear Jeremiah speak about a broken promise. The Lord God declared through Jeremiah that he would make a new covenant with the people of Israel, even though they broke the last covenant. Now, God is certainly gracious and merciful to his people. We can see that. But why would God want to give his people another covenant when they broke the last one? Reason? Because God the Father wants our relationship with him to be restored, so he makes a new covenant of forgiveness for us. That, my friends, is the grace and mercy of God the Father. So the question we ask is, what happened before the new covenant? What was broken? What happened? Well, the Lord gives us these details through the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord." The Israelites broke the covenant of God. God had promised that they would be released from their oppressors, the Egyptians, and he made good on that promise. He sent Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. He sent plagues. And then finally, Pharaoh let God's people go, only to chase them down with his chariots in order to wipe them all out. Even in the midst of Pharaoh's chariots bearing down on the people of Israel, God stays true to his promise. He commands Moses. He tells him, lead the people to the edge of the waters and lead them through the Red Sea. Moses strikes the Red Sea with his staff, and the waters are parted, and they pass through on dry ground. The people were delivered from the angry hand of Pharaoh. The people were delivered from slavery and death to freedom and life. That was the covenant that God made with his people. God passed over his people in order to deliver them. And what did the people do in return? Well, we heard it last Sunday in the Old Testament reading. They grumbled against God. Remember when they were in the wilderness? They grumbled against Moses. They were sick of the food. They were thirsty. They were sick of the desert. They were sick of God and Moses. And they even went so far as to say that they had a better life back in Egypt under Pharaoh's heavy hand, back in the house of slavery and death. God's people, the people of Israel, turned their backs on God. They abandoned God and his covenant. They constructed for themselves a golden calf to worship. They broke God's covenant. The covenant that God had given to them for their freedom, for their life, in order to worship an idol. They worshiped a man-made material object instead of the one true God. To put it simply, they sinned against God, and yet even in the midst of all that sin, even in the midst of everything that the people of God had done against God, God shows his grace and mercy. Even as they turn their backs on God, he creates a new covenant for them. A covenant that will restore the people of Israel. A covenant that will mean forgiveness for their sins. God gives the people of Israel and us new life and salvation in his new covenant for us. God is certainly gracious and merciful to us. That new covenant is just as important for us today as it was for the people of Israel back then. So, the question we have to ask ourselves is this: what is our life like now in the new covenant from God? In Jeremiah's prophecy, we read, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God is reclaiming his people, even after they had wandered away from him. So today, this means that we are God's people. He has written his holy law onto each and every one of your hearts. And this law points us to the truth. This law points us to the fact that we are sinners who have fallen very short of the glory of God. And through the law written on our hearts, we can clearly see that we've knowingly abandoned God by our thoughts, words, and deeds. We've not lived up to the high standards that the law demands. We are not living the life that God wanted us to live back in the Garden of Eden. In our hearts, we can feel that. The truth of the law shows us that our conscience is anything but clean. We've fallen quite far from God, but there's hope. And that's what's at the heart of Jeremiah's prophecy. Hope. Yes, God's law is written in our hearts. Yes, we've fallen far from the glory of God, but God wants us back. With our backs turned towards God, he still embraces us. He still creates a saving covenant with us. Jeremiah's prophecy, that's sweet to our ears. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." How sweet are those words for us poor, miserable sinners. What Jeremiah is saying is the gospel. And the gospel teaches us about Jesus. We don't have to yell and scream at our neighbor, "Know the Lord." We don't have to do that. We can show our neighbor through the gospel just what Jesus has done for them. And for us as well. Now, Rachel and I have a routine. We take turns putting Sarah to bed at night. And each of us, we read her a story, and then we pray with her. And during Lent, I have made a point to talk with her about Jesus and the salvation that has been won for her, for all people. I talk with her about her sin. I talk with her about the salvation that she has received, the forgiveness of sins. And at the end of my discussion with her, I make the statement about Jesus, a statement that is always the same. And this statement isn't just for her, it's not just for me, it's for all of us. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. That is where it all happened. I don't tell you that story because I'm trying to show you what a great parent I am or anything like that. I'm trying to show you the importance of the gospel message and what that message means for all of us. Jesus Christ has suffered and died for the forgiveness of all of your sins, to free you. That is the covenant that God has made for us as people. So we shouldn't feel beaten down by the law because we know the truth. We have hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. And isn't that what drives our conversation with other people? We might start out with the law. We might show people that what they're doing is wrong in the eyes of God, but that's not where we stop. We also show them the gospel. And that gospel always shines through. That's how we know the Lord, through the gospel, not the law. Yes, the law shows us that we're all miserable failures. And yes, the law shows us just how ungrateful we are. But God's covenant with us erases all those sins. Listen again to the words that God spoke through Jeremiah. He said, "For I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sins no more." He doesn't even remember the sins that we've committed. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God sent Jesus, His one and only Son, to sacrifice Himself for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus is the new covenant that God has made with His people. And Jesus' sacrificial death, that means our forgiveness. So as we finish out our Lenten journey, as we move closer to Holy Week and Easter, we are reminded of our sins. We are also reminded of what stands at the end of this season: the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and for our eternal life. This is what makes Lent so important. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's covenant with us. He has come to restore us. He came to restore Israel. He has come to sacrifice Himself so that we will all be saved. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.